Well, it's all right. Riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right. If you live the life you please. Well, it's
welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. Hi, Eric.
Good afternoon, Julie.
Eric, it's abundant sunshine today.
It is so abundant. It's gorgeous out there.
It's like summertime here
and yet,
in Seattle.
It's not too hot, so you know what that means.
What?
It's perfect weather to take your dog for a walk.
It is, Eric. Good point. I've got a gorgeous view of downtown Seattle and the Olympic Mountain Range behind. It's just a beautiful day today. Great day to be here. Like you said, Eric, a great day to walk your dog. I've taken the dogs actually out twice. That's how nice it is so far today, and it's only the afternoon. We have, in just a few minutes, we're going to bring on Dr. Edward Mosier, who is a veterinary nutritionist and a nutritional advisor to Wellness Pet Food. We had Dr. Mosier on a few months ago for a very informative, wonderful interview, and he's back today to talk with us about all things related to puppy nutrition.
Puppy nutrition being different than regular dog nutrition, I suppose. Then.
Indeed. And we're going to clarify why and talk about all aspects of that growth rate, large breed puppies versus smaller breed puppies. What is the difference between puppy food and adult food and all that kind of stuff. And we'll be taking your questions as well. If you have a question and you'd like to take this opportunity to call in and ask Dr. Mosier and benefit from his expertise, you are welcome to do that as well. The phone number, I'll give this out throughout the show, the phone number to call is 425-373-5527, 425-373-5527, or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. Before we get going with Dr. Mosier's interview, I do have a couple of announcements. Wanted to let some people know about events coming up. There is a, I announced this a couple weeks ago. There is an event, a free dog massage and consultation event at Pet Elements in West Seattle. Jenny Strite with Hands to Paws Small Animal Massage. We'll be hosting a free dog massage and consultation event at Pet Elements in West Seattle. It's on 6701 California Avenue Southwest. And this is this Sunday, March 28th, from 10 a.m. to noon. So you can just show up at Pet Elements in West Seattle this Sunday, March 28th, from 10 a.m. to noon. There's also going to be a raffle for a 30-minute dog or cat massage, a dog toy, some dog food, and then they will also be accepting donations for Missing Pet Partnership, which we've had on the show a couple times, Kat Albrecht with Missing Pet Partnership. They train scent-tracking dogs to find lost pets. And that website is missingpetpartnership.org if you would like to find out more about that. Organization. The website for the Hands to Paws Animal Massage is exactly that, www.handstopawsanimalmassage.com. You can also call 206-932-0457 to find out more information about that event. And there is an event starting Monday the 29th, the day after that. A pet food cooking class put on by the Natural Pet Pantry, one of our sponsors. That is Monday nights for four sessions. You don't have to sign up for all four. You can just visit one at a time, but they do request an RSVP. Learning how to make home-prepared diets that are nutritionally balanced and tasty. That is March 29th, Monday, 6:30 to 8 p.m., and then there will also be a half-an-hour question and answer from 8 to 8:30. And that is on 157 2nd Street in Burien. You can call 206-397-3165 to find out more information about that and to sign up. 206-397-3165. That event is posted on the Dog Talk Show homepage, so you can check that out as well, dogtalkshow.com. And I'm happy to announce that all of our shows now are up on iTunes for free download. So there's like 56 shows, I think, up there on iTunes for the world to listen to.
Excellent.
Yeah. So you can just go to iTunes and go to the podcasts page and search The Dog Talk Show with Julie Forbes. And they will all show up, and you can just download them into your iTunes and put them on your iPod or whatever. You can listen to it as you're walking your dog in this beautiful weather.
You could make some exciting mashups even, probably.
Yeah. Mix it up. So those are some exciting events happening here this weekend and Monday that you can go to and get some goodies and learn some good information and treat your dogs to a massage or perhaps a home-prepared diet.
Now, if I showed up in a dog suit, because I love a good free massage, probably not going to work out, right?
Just a warning to hands to paws animal massage. If somebody shows up dressed in a dog suit, it's Eric.
I shouldn't have said it on
I blew your cover, Eric.
Totally blew it.
I don't know. That'd be funny. If you do, let me know what happens.
Okay. We'll see if we can get pictures for the website.
Yeah. Well, let's start with our interview with Dr. Mosier, veterinary nutritionist. We're going to bring him on the air. Hi, Dr. Mosier.
Hi, Julie. Good to be with you to talk about feeding puppies today.
Yes. Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show.
Thank you.
Yeah. So there's, you know, a lot that, you know, is out there as far as puppy nutrition and different puppy formulas and what's the difference in large breed versus small breed and all that kind of stuff. So I look forward to delving into that with you today and shedding some light on the issue and getting people informed about puppy food and why it's important to choose the right one. So you are a veterinary nutritionist and a nutritional advisor to Wellness Natural Pet Food. And the first question that I have for you about puppy food is, what is the difference between the large breed puppy food and the regular puppy food? Why is it important to do the large breed for the larger breed? What's considered a large breed puppy?
Good question. And this is quite important and something that people always sort of scratch their head and say, I'm feeding a puppy, what difference does it make what breed it is?
Mm-hmm.
And really, dogs in general have a tremendous genetic ability to grow. And so feed dogs and they will grow, and it's even more noticeable in the large breed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one case where we don't really want to see the full genetic potential of our animals reached, because what we've found is that the faster animals grow and the more weight they gain, the more problems they tend to have long term.
Mm-hmm.
And so what nutritionists have done recently is identified large breed as being specifically at risk for specific conditions. And they're at risk for things like metabolic bone disease or developmental orthopedic disease is one that's commonly talked about in the large breed that doesn't seem to affect small and medium breed dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And in that category of developmental orthopedic disease, the two that you hear most about are hip dysplasia and osteochondrosis. You don't hear that much about those in the smaller breed.
Mm-hmm.
And so definitely there are, therefore, different ways to feed the small guys and feed the big guys to optimize each of their particular growth rates.
Mm-hmm.
So they're basically what we're doing is we're manipulating how quickly we're telling these animals to grow. We're saying we want a healthy growth rate, but we really don't want the maximum growth rate that's available, because that tends to put animals at risk to especially developmental orthopedic disease later in life.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that growing too fast as a young dog is one of the main causes of hip dysplasia, for example, or are there other causes for that, and what are they?
Basically, I think you're right that growing fast is a risk factor, but I think that aside from nutrition, genetics plays an extremely important role in it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's management factors. For instance, free choice feeding puts dogs at risk for developmental orthopedic disease. And by free choice feeding, I mean that you fill up the bowl in the morning and you fill up the bowl when it's empty, whatever time of day it is. And the dog really has control of how many calories it's taking in.
Yeah.
Always a bad idea.
Yeah.
To let the dog have control. And so what we need to have owners do is really learn to moderate the intake of calories in their large breed dogs especially, but it's also true for their medium and small breeds as well. Even though those breeds don't have the developmental orthopedic problems, what we see is that puppies of the smaller and medium-sized breeds that are overfed as puppies tend to carry that over and become overweight as adults.
Hmm.
And so we see then the list of medical problems that occur with overweight adults.
Now, is that a result of something that's happening within the body that's giving them a predisposition to be overweight, or is it because if they're overfed as puppies, they're also likely to be overfed as adults just because they're likely to have the same owners who are overfeeding them?
It's mostly the latter that
yeah.
the feeding. And let me, Julie, give you an example of a really nice study that was done over in the last maybe 7 years.
Dr. Mosier, we're going to take a quick break, and then I'd love for you to get into that study when we have plenty of time when we come back from break.
Okay, Julie.
So hold that thought. We'll be back in just a few minutes with the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
And they called it puppy love. Oh, I guess they'll never know.
Picking up dog or cat poop is a necessary pet owner's ritual. Plastic poop bags put in the trash end up in landfills, produce methane gas, and contaminate our hard-to-get clean water. Bokashi Cycle's Pet Cycle fermenting system provides a simple, sustainable solution to a growing problem. Pet waste is safely and rapidly transformed into a product that restores nutrients and microbes to the soil. Pet Cycle is an easy and natural system you can use at home to end polluting. Visit www.bokashicycle.com or call 1-800-714-2130 to order your Pet Cycle system today.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets in Marysville, we cover the world of animals. This week, it's Shelter, Rescue, Sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. And after Animals in the News, we'll check in with Mollywood Avian Sanctuary, Sarvey Wildlife Care Center, and Equine Rescue Association. Then Rob and Alexis from Mystic Radio will join us, and along with Sandy and me, we'll talk with the elephants of Woodland Park Zoo about moving to the sanctuary. On Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Are you a doctor, dentist, or therapist? Have you ever wished you could take your dog to work with you? Visit HealingAllies.com to find out how you can train your dog to become a clinical therapy dog in your office or clinic. Clinical therapy dogs provide people with joy, affection, and emotional support in healthcare settings. Research shows that therapy animals have positive psychological and physiological effects on clients and patients. Meet your newest staff member, your dog. Visit HealingAllies.com or call 206-406-1455 for more information. That's HealingAllies.com.
Following the herd is fine until they lead you off a cliff. Think for yourself. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Tell them this is not a puppy love.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, and we are back with Dr. Edward Mosier, veterinary nutritionist and nutrition consultant for Wellness Natural Pet Food. Welcome back, Dr. Mosier.
Thank you.
So you were just about to tell us about a study.
Yes, Julie. I was going to describe a study that was done in Labrador Retriever dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, two groups of animals were selected. And at weaning, one group was moderately overfed.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they were given almost free access to food. They were limited somewhat in that they didn't let them get too overweight.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had another group that was fed, I think, 20% less.
Mm-hmm.
And these animals lived, you know, a regular lifespan. What was measured were of course, various the health parameters over that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And what they found were that the moderately reduced in calorie intake dogs were healthier dogs. They had less hip dysplasia and other kinds of metabolic diseases. And I think the most important finding was they lived longer, having intakes that were moderately restricted in energy. And
yeah.
It was like a year and a half longer. So a remarkable fact that by keeping the dog at a body condition score about 3 out of 5 is much more healthy and lends itself to increased longevity versus a body score of about a 4, which
yeah.
is what the groups were.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 4 out of 5 and 3 out of 5. So you can see the 3s are thinner dogs, and the 4s are heavier dogs,
mm-hmm.
more overweight dogs. So it's certainly a compelling reason to limit food intake and, you know, at the same time, have your dog live longer.
Yeah. Now, is it because if their caloric intake is too high and they're growing too fast that affects the formation of the bones, which then sort of throws the joints off? And, like, what is it that happens structurally about overfeeding?
Well, the thought is twofold. In the hip dysplasia model, what they're saying is, yes, the whole structure, the bony structure and the musculoskeletal structure is not formed properly because it grows too fast.
Mm-hmm.
And really what's happening is the joint itself, which is supposed to be a rather snug ball and socket joint, no longer fits snugly. And so there's laxity there, which means that the joint moves
yeah.
rather than just articulate. And you have osteoarthritic changes as a result. The osteochondrosis, on the other hand, is more a developmental problem at the growth plates and the physis. So cartilaginous problems there that lead to the lameness.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they're developmental problems, really.
In addition to the fact that dogs that are overweight, there's more weight,
yep.
you know, more pressure on the joints. I know it's important to keep, well, any dog lean, but especially older dogs, to just keep as much weight as possible off of those joints.
That's absolutely correct, Julie.
Hmm. Well, very interesting. And then there's also the factor of, you know, if they are overfed as puppies, then the owners are likely to overfeed them as adult dogs, too. But it makes sense that you wouldn't want to have a dog grow at their maximum growth rate because you don't see, I mean, that's not how wild animals are sort of structured. You don't really see fat wolves walking around outside. It's not like they just have so much food that they end up being overweight. You know, they have to work for their food, so they're not going to work more than they need to. So they're, you know, just sort of designed to get as much nutrition as they need, but they're generally lean and fit.
Correct. And, you know, going back to the large breed type of dry kibble versus the medium and small breed kibble for puppies, let me give you an example of, for instance, the wellness product, and tell you about the caloric density, which I think will help bring this into focus a little more. If you look at a cup of large breed kibble, an 8-ounce measuring cup, there's 366 calories in that cup, and the cup weighs about 100 grams. If you look at an 8-ounce volumetric measuring cup of Just for Puppy, which is the wellness puppy food for the small and medium breed, that cup contains 450 kilocalories in the cup, and the cup weighs 118 grams. So you can see that they're, when you look at them, you hold handfuls of them next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
They look very different. You see the large breed kibble is puffier, you know, it's lighter, fluffier, and the small just for puppy kibble is much more dense. And if you compare the fat contents of them, what you'll find is that the just for puppy kibble is about 17% fat, whereas the large breed kibble is only about 12% fat. So it's much less energy dense. So there's less calories per cup. You can feed more of the large breed puppy food, and hopefully the puppy will be satisfied with the volume at a lower caloric intake.
Mm-hmm.
To help you manage begging and signs that the dog wants more.
Yeah. Is the percent fat the main difference as far as the makeup of the food that is a difference between the large breed and the small to medium breed?
That it's the main, the largest difference. There's a slight difference in protein, the large breed being slightly lower, about 2 percentage points lower in protein.
So,
but the percentage fat decrease is marked. And really, fat is what drives the calorie content of the dry kibble food.
Just like human food.
Just exactly. You're exactly right. Fat is 2.5 times as calorie dense as carbohydrate or protein.
Yeah.
So when you raise the percentage of fat, you very quickly raise the caloric density of the food and therefore need to feed less of it.
Yeah. So I think if memory serves, fat is 9 calories per gram and carbohydrate is 4?
That's about correct, yes.
Yeah. So just much more calorically dense, why we store fat as an energy source and not sugar, in that form anyway. So now we had talked about also a calcium issue with, you know, too much calcium and that puppies can't control how much calcium they absorb out of the gut, and that too much calcium can also lead to hip, elbow problems and those metabolic bone diseases that you talked about.
That's right, Julie. And, you know, I think we've fueled some of this misinterpretation of calcium by saying that, well, you need calcium for strong bones and teeth, and that goes into everybody's brain and they remember that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, what they think then is, well, if a little bit of calcium is good for strong bones and teeth, then a lot of calcium must be better for strong bones and teeth. And if you're a large breed dog, you have bigger bones, so you must even need more calcium.
Mm-hmm.
And in reality, what happens is that gets you into trouble. More and more calcium leads to just what you talked about earlier, another cause of metabolic bone disease in the large breed dog.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you should be in the back of your mind really thinking is, yes, I need a certain amount of calcium and phosphorus for healthy bones and teeth, but if I'm feeding a food that's formulated for all life stages or for growth or for puppies, that food will have enough calcium in it and will not need a supplemental source.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Julie, if you're doing like the people, I heard that you're talking about a course where people are home cooking and making their own diets.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of diets are always in need of calcium supplements.
Right.
So, you know, meat kind of, when you're adding meat to a diet, or the diet is exclusively meat, that's high in phosphorus and devoid of calcium.
Yeah.
So you do need, you know, calcium supplements in those situations. But in commercial foods that are formulated for use in puppies or all life stages, stay away from calcium supplements.
Yeah. And that's something that is important to clarify, too, for people for all life stages. You know, I'm a big fan of homemade diets and that type of thing, but it is really important to make sure that you're getting a recipe from, you know, that's formulated so that the dog is getting the right ratio of, like you said, calcium to phosphorus, muscle meat to organ meat. It's not just about going out and getting, you know, ground beef or something and using that. If a dog was eating a whole animal, they're eating not just muscle meat, but they're also eating organ meat. They're also eating bone. And there's all different types of nutrients found out throughout the body of the prey. So it's important that, you know, it's not just about adding meat, muscle meat or steak or chicken breast or something like that. It's a really specific ratio between the muscle meat to organ meat to bone, to the calcium to phosphorus and all that kind of thing.
Right, and it's equally important that the trace minerals and the vitamins are added at appropriate amounts. Interesting, Julie, there were some studies done or published about 3 or 4 years ago that looked at home-cooked diets, and what the results showed were that two of the biggest problems with home-cooked diets is that maybe people got an appropriate formula from somewhere that was balanced, but they felt very liberal in adding or subtracting things from the formula.
Mm-hmm.
That was problem number one. Problem number two was they forgot that you have to add vitamins and trace minerals as well as the calcium and phosphorus source. You can't just add the meat, and if you use rice or you use a carbohydrate or fruits and vegetables, that's not enough. You really have to add vitamin and trace mineral supplementation.
Mm-hmm. What's an example of a problem, a quick example of a problem that might result as a deficiency in a trace mineral?
A real quick one would be, and a good example, I think, is, I was just thinking about this the other day, and if you remember back in probably the late 70s, there was something called generic pet food disease. And at that time, the economy was bad, and people were buying pet food. I remember seeing pictures of these bags of pet food. They were white bags, and they said, like, dog food on them.
Wow.
And this is actually published. It was published in the Journal of the American Veterinary Medical Association in the early 80s, where they looked at a bunch of animals who were fed these types of diets. And what ended up happening was a syndrome occurred where zinc deficiency was created by feeding these cheap diets. And what was ending up happening was they were very high in a plant material and very high in added calcium.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those situations caused the zinc that was added to the diet to be bound and unabsorbable.
Mm.
And so these animals reflected that zinc deficiency by parakeratosis, and basically skin disease. And so it's a good example of there was zinc in the diet, but it wasn't allowed to be absorbed because it had these extra luminal influences by other minerals and plant materials in the gut.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with Dr. Edward Mosier, veterinary nutritionist and nutritional consultant for Wellness Natural Pet Food. You're listening to The Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Do you want to improve your health, take less medicine, or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine, with over 60 years of experience, will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup, feeling stressed or anxious, or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues? Call 206-726-0034 or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Camley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, now on Thursdays at 1 p.m. I take your calls and talk with your animal companions about anything you'd like to know from them. You can also talk with your loved ones, both human and animals, on the other side. Tune in to Talk With Your Animals Thursdays at 1 with me, Joy Turner. Thanks for listening.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
More choices, more topics, more shows. One station. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk, 1150. We're back with Dr. Edward Mosier, veterinary nutritionist and nutritional consultant for Wellness Natural Pet Food. Welcome back, Dr. Mosier.
Thank you.
Just want to give out the number again. If anyone has a question they would like to ask Dr. Mosier on air, please do take the opportunity. The number to call is 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527 or toll free 888-298-5569. So we were talking about a excess of one thing can actually bind up another nutrient and essentially cancel it out. So there's so much more to it than just having plenty of everything, because too much of one thing can, like I said, kind of cancel out another thing, and really making sure that all of the nutrients are at the correct level and that the correct ratio between this and that, the muscle meat, organ meat, calcium, phosphorus, omega-3, omega-6, etc. Very important. And one thing that we talked about earlier in the show, too, Dr. Mosier, was about the caloric intake and how it's so important to not overfeed puppies and to, you know, keep them lean. And a question that I have for you is, it's kind of tricky to, I mean, you can, when you look at an adult dog, you can look at their figure and, you know, feel the ribs and look at the waist and all that kind of thing. But with a puppy, they're kind of roly-poly anyway. So it seems like it'd be harder to tell whether a puppy is overweight versus just healthy.
You know, Julie, I think it is harder to tell, but I think that's the reason what we try to do is have the owners do it so frequently. And I tell people they should be doing it at least every 2 weeks.
Weighing their dogs?
And body scoring them.
So what does body score mean?
Body score is really what you call measuring the fat or the energy status of the animal. So you're basically looking at the fat cover. And what you're doing is essentially what you described in your lead-in, is palpating the ribs, running your hands along them. You should know that there's ribs there. You should feel them, mm-hmm. but your hands should not fall between them, like in a picket fence or something.
Mm-hmm.
They should have a waist when viewed from above. You should see a tapering of the thorax into the abdomen and the hip area. You should be able to palpate the vertebra of the spinal column. When you go up by their shoulder blades of their scapula, you should be able to tell that there's a bone that runs down the shoulder blade and that there's muscle on either side of it, but the spine of the scapula shouldn't be prominent.
Mm-hmm.
And the same was true on the crest of the skull. You should be able to feel the crest, but it shouldn't be full of fat there.
Mm-hmm.
So what we want people to do is be evaluating this frequently, every 2 weeks, and hopefully weighing them that frequently as well. I also like to recommend, Julie, that a third party, it sounds funny, but getting somebody else.
Yeah, good point.
Involved to look at the dog.
Yeah.
Is really helpful because, you know, you and I see our pet and we see it every day. And then we sort of lose that objectivity because we're there all the time touching the dog. And when you get somebody else in, they can, you know, add a little outside objectivity to the whole process.
Well, I know working with clients with training and behavior that I always talk to, I ask people what they're feeding and, really looking at the whole picture and give them some advice on that if needed. But I do have people ask me to settle a dispute between partners. Is the dog too fat? Because one says yes and one says no. And, it's kind of this ongoing battle of we need to cut back. No, the dog's fine and all that kind of thing. So I think having a third party who is informed is a good idea for sure.
And you're often getting some vaccinations during that time or some deworming. Your vet's a good person to to get involved and help you with because they see all kinds of body shapes and sizes and weights.
Yeah.
They can give you some tips as to whether you're hitting the food bowl a little too heavy or need to boost it up a little bit.
Yeah. Now, I have a question about some breeds that are built, very lean, and that's sort of how they're intended. Like, for example, a Whippet. The sight hounds, they're so lean, and you see such definition on them. I don't know if I've ever seen a fat Whippet, but are they, still supposed to have some meat around the ribs and not be protruding? I mean, because a lot of those dogs, they look healthy, but you see the spine and the hips protruding, and it's kind of like, at what point is it too much?
Yeah, and really that is sometimes hard to call on some of the breeds that are more on the fringes of what we consider normal, because they are built differently than others. But they still should have a certain degree of fat covering on them, which be able to ascertain by palpation.
Yeah. And that's a really good thing to do with your dog throughout its life is to, especially with dogs with thicker coats, is to know their bodies. And I mean, most people have their hands on their dogs all the time, but to really intentionally go through and touch them all over the place. And because then if there's a little, lump or scratch or, something on the East Coast, maybe a tick, those types of things that you wouldn't necessarily notice unless you had your hands on. So that's just a good thing to do in general, is to just be really, really familiar with your dog's body. So then if something changes, you'll know and you can get them into the vet sooner than later. So wanted to talk with you about, we've talked about the difference between puppy food and the small to medium breed and large breed puppy food. But a lot of people ask me, when do I switch my puppy to adult food? And what are the differences between adult food and puppy food?
In general, I'll give you a pretty good idea of switching from puppy to adult first.
Mm-hmm.
What you keep in mind is that the smaller the breed, the faster they get to be mature, and then the slower they get to be old. The larger the breed, the slower they get to be mature, and the faster they get to be old. So for all intents and purposes, for small and medium breed by 12 months of age. They are basically adult. They can continue to grow some, but remember that their height and length are pretty much set. And as a matter of fact, you know, the long bone epiphyses start closing at about 6 months and end closing at about 10 months. So all the long bones are that's the length they're going to be at that age. What's happened is that the larger the breeds of dogs, they tend to have a continued acceleration in their growth rate over the small and medium breed for another couple of months. So if you treat them as puppies a little bit longer, maybe 14 months of age. But those are the general ballpark kind of numbers that you look for to switch from one food to another, puppy to adult. In general, for adult food, you probably see a lot of adult foods that are less energy dense and protein dense. In other words, there's less protein and less fat in most adult foods than there is in the puppy or the growth food. And mainly that's because the caloric needs of the adult are less because there's no growth involved, and so their metabolic rate is lower. So that's the general switch. However, with the advent of new types of feeding, you know, the high protein diet, low fat diet, that kind of thing, you end up seeing all sorts of different types of nutrient profiles for adult dogs based on individual meat. So you can see all sorts of different dogs on different nutrient profiles doing well. That's one of the things I think that's an advantage in today's marketplace, is that as an owner, you have all sorts of leeway when picking a food. One of the nice things about the wellness line is you have all kinds of choices for your dog. You have two kinds of puppy food, you know, small, regular breed and large breed. You have their sort of flagship line of premium foods, many of which have different protein sources such as fish or chicken. Then you have the allergy foods, which are venison or salmon or duck. And you have then the protein enhanced foods as well, which are called the core.
Yeah.
So you have all these different brands, types of food to choose from. I think it makes it a lot nicer for owners because they have that luxury of choosing.
Yeah, and there's lots of dogs that tolerate this versus that, and have more sensitive stomachs or not, and so it's really about finding what formula your dog does the best on, you know, and judging by the poop, by their weight, their general digestion, and all that kind of thing, that there really are a lot of options out there. I think sometimes people feel overwhelmed if the dog doesn't have any issues. It's like, well, which one should I get? You know, should I get this one or should I get this one? And, but yeah, they're really, it's getting more and more specific, the industry for sure. There's no shortage of options, that's for sure.
Well, and I think, Julie, maybe even 10 years ago, a lot of people would have said, oh, you know, if the breeder says feed this kind of food, then that's the only choice you have.
Yeah.
And I think today more people are willing to try different things, and they really need to, because as you said so eloquently, you know, they're each going to respond to the diet differently, whether it's the protein source, the fat source, you know, how much fat, how much fiber. They're all going to affect individuals differently.
Well, we're going to take a break, and we will be back in a few minutes with Dr. Edward Mosier, veterinary nutritionist and nutritional consultant for Wellness Natural Pet Food. You're listening to The Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick & Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150. Your home is your castle, but the upkeep. There's always so much to do. You don't want your investment to look run down, but who has time for all the things that need to be done? Regular window washing, gutter and roof cleaning, house cleaning, routine pressure washing. And what about those dryer vents? Lint in dryer vents is a common source of house fires. Ouch! Wouldn't it be nice to have an experienced, established, and respected company take care of those routine tasks for you on a regular basis? Capital Cleaning Services, serving the Seattle area since 1973, is your perfect choice. With years of experience and top ratings on Angie's List, Puget Consumer Checkbook, and the Better Business Bureau, Capital Cleaning Services can reliably and safely help you with your routine home and maintenance tasks. You're in the clear with Capital Cleaning. So call today for a free quote and see how we can help you protect your investment and keep your home looking beautiful all year round. Call 206-782-2494. That's 206-782-2494 for Capital Cleaning Services.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Hi, I'm Vicki St. Clair. I want to invite you to join me every Monday at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. We'll talk with innovative business leaders, medical and health professionals, authors, filmmakers, adventurers, and ordinary people leading extraordinary lives. Join me Mondays at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Next Monday, Marshall Goldsmith will tell you how to find your mojo and keep it. Also, best-selling novelist Lisa Lutz about her comic mystery tale, The Spellmans.
Check out our guest schedule at conversationslive.net and join me Mondays at noon.
1150kknw.com, your connection to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And we are back with Dr. Edward Mosier, veterinary nutritionist and nutritional consultant for Wellness Natural Pet Food. Welcome back, Dr. Mosier.
Thank you, Julie.
So we were talking about all things puppy food, and there is a dog puppy food calculator that is on goldendoodles, plural, .com. And you can go to care and feeding and then click on the dog puppy food calculator. And that's a good tool to use. You can enter in the food information from the bag, the calories per cup or calories per kilogram, bag size and price per bag and the weight of the dog and all this kind of stuff. And it does an energy requirement calculation for you. So that's at goldendoodles.com, and I'll post that on the Dog Talk Show website on the homepage so people can click on that as well. So we were talking about puppy food versus adult food, and I always thought that I just assumed that it was a different formulation, I mean, it is a different formulation, but that it was the protein levels and the fat levels that were important that distinguished puppy food from adult food. But what I understand from our conversation is that that is really to control the calories. And it's really all about the calories.
Really, the growth rate is all about the calories.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, protein is critical for increasing body muscle mass during growth.
Mm-hmm.
So you need more protein for the growth process than you do for adult maintenance. So you usually see a higher level of protein in a puppy food. But now with people feeding higher protein foods, really you see comparable types of protein in dry foods made for adults because so many people are feeding higher protein foods.
Is there a risk? I know some of the foods on the market that, you know, have really great ingredient lists are really high in protein, and it's kind of seems to be the word now that too much protein isn't good for the dogs.
Julie, I again think that comes down to whose dog you're feeding.
Uh-huh.
And I've heard of dogs that are eating high levels of protein and are doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
Other dogs, when they're fed levels of protein, even at growth levels to adults, and they fall apart. So I think it really has to do with what your dog is going, how your dog is going to react to the level of protein you feed, especially in adult meat.
And it's just such a good, I can see this elsewhere too, just in pet care, that it comes down to the individual, and that individuals have different needs. And it's true with training and behavior. I mean, you can't approach every dog using the same techniques, the same tools, because just like people, dogs learn differently, and some dogs do better with one method versus the other. And so it's really important to look at each dog as an individual, whether it be for feeding reasons, which protein source to feed, whether they need a simple diet versus a more rich diet, etc. And just, you know, looking at the dogs as an individual and not just generalizing to all dogs.
Right. Most of these rules that we have are rules for starting, a place to start, and mm-hmm. then modify as you go based on your results.
Yeah. Now, we have just about a minute left, but I wanted to ask you about preservatives and artificial preservatives, or BHA, I think it was, and the impact that that can have.
Right. One of the things that separates a lot of the foods from natural foods right now is the method of preservation.
Mm-hmm.
And so natural foods tend to rely on mixed tocopherols, which are a vitamin E type of preservative.
Mm-hmm.
And the sort of traditional foods rely on BHA, BHT, or ethoxyquin. And so basically what you're doing is choosing between a chemical preservative and a natural preservative mm-hmm. in the food.
And what is the danger of a chemical preservative?
The danger of the chemical preservative is, number one, you're introducing it into the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, ethoxyquin was looked at probably about 5 to 10 years ago. And basically, after a feeding period, what they saw was that there were some abnormalities in the liver enzyme, and there were hemoglobin-related pigments accumulating in the liver.
Mm-hmm.
And so what the FDA did was basically decrease by half the amount of ethoxyquin that was allowed to be added to the food.
Mm-hmm.
In reality, what that meant was a lot of food stepped away from ethoxyquin to mm-hmm. find other preservatives taking place.
Yeah. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the show already. It went by so fast. thank you so much, Dr. Mosier, for being on the show with us today and talking about puppy nutrition, a very important subject and lots to know about it. So thanks so much for your time today. And this show, as well as all of the other shows, are available for download for free on iTunes, as well as archived on the website, which is dogtalkshow.com. So If you've missed any part of this interview or would like to listen to any other show, you can find us there as well. Dr. Mosier, enjoy your beautiful weather in Pennsylvania, and we will continue to do so here in Seattle.
Thanks, Julie.
All right. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Well, I'm going to post those events, the dog food class event and the massage event, on the website, which is dogtalkshow.com. So you can go to the website to find all of the information about that if you didn't get a chance to write it down. And we will be back next week, next Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eric, enjoy the sun.
Yeah, and if you know anywhere with a dog suit for rental for real cheap,
right,
let me know.
I'll keep my eye out. Thanks for listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.